Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown Show on the best AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. The best sports karate interviews, special announcements, and special surprises each week on this Tuesday night. Professor Gary Lee has a knockout punch every week for your enjoyment. Supporting the Sports Karate Museum Archives and the history in America. It ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yo, Professor Gary Lee, great job.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Well, mahalo and aloha, everybody. And again, happy, happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. And we want to say a big shout out to our producer, Jesse Bowen. He's going to be speaking for Nike, I think, tomorrow. But his assistant, Jessica, is our producer tonight. I want to say thank you, Jessica, for putting us all together. And, you know, before I bring on my very special guest, I've got to introduce two of the men that put up with me every week. And they are really special. The first person I want to introduce to you is someone that actually I adopted about 10 years ago when his instructor passed away, the great Joe Lewis. And Joe let me adopt him, and ever since, he's been my student, and I'm so proud of him. I'm not making this up, guys. This is a fact. He's over 40 times. He's won a world championships in NASCAR, NBL. He's been on America's Got Talent with his lovely daughter. This guy's an amazing martial artist. He teaches Marines every day. He is really cool. His name is Dean Piles. Dean, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm here, man. That was awesome. That was good. I'm not going to send you a check. I'll just have to pay you cash for that.
There you go. Well, happy holidays, Wolverine. Happy holidays.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. Let me go to the other half. The other half of the co-host responsibilities goes to a man that you guys know. I don't use the word master or grandmaster very often, but I enjoy saying the word master in front of this man's name, because he's a master of Taekwondo Karate, which is a Korean form of martial arts. He's out of Cleveland, Ohio. In fact, I'll tell you what, a little input. He is the only martial artist inducted into the Cleveland Association Hall of Fame. This is master of Taekwondo, Master A.J. Perry. A.J., you there?
Hey, how are you? Thank you for the nice introduction.
Well, you know, you deserve it. You and Dean,
checks in the mail.
Yeah, that's right. Checks in the mail. You and Dean put up with me every week, and I appreciate it so much because, you know, you guys are my backbone, because I know I can really depend on both you guys very deeply. Now, tonight again, Jesse is taking the night off, and Jessica is assistant is helping us produce the show tonight. But, you know, I've got a very special guest. I remember back in the 70s, I had two magazine articles next to the heavy bag. One magazine article was on my Uncle Jerry Smith that was, you know, a trainer, a champion. And I never thought I'd ever meet him, but we've become so close. And the other article was a man named Emil Farkas. And the reason why I had the article on the wall was because he's from Beverly Hills. And to me, I always thought if I could end up in Beverly Hills or in Hollywood, I could teach stars. Well, I never got to do that, but he did. And he did it for over 50 years. That's right, 50 years he was in Beverly Hills teaching the movie stars. And we're going to get to talk about that tonight. And I want to introduce my friend, my historian friend, Mr. Emil Farkas. Emil, are you there, sir?
I'm here. How are you? Thank you much.
Well, thank you, Emil. I mean, you got a lot of history. You had your school for 50 years now. Your style is Shotokan, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Who did you train with to get your black belt in Shotokan?
I trained in Japan. I trained with Nakayama Sensei, the JKA.
Cool. Now, you mentioned JKA. Do you remember Frank Smith and Tony Toners?
Sure. Those guys were all of Nishiyama's top guys.
Yeah. Well,
Tony Tellerness was actually Kubota's guy, and Frank Smith was the number one guy at Nishiyama.
Well, I remember meeting both of them in the room that Pat Kubota had in back of his dojo. And Frank Smith, he was a beast, Emil. He really was. In fact,
no question.
In fact, that Tony Toners, I think he's the only man to beat Chuck Norris 3 times in a row. You know?
Yeah.
And
Tony,
then I heard that Frank actually got kicked out of the JK because he was beating up the Japanese. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but
it was true because I was there.
Oh, really?
Interesting story. All the top Japanese guys came to Nishiyama, and Frank Smith beat them all up, and so they weren't very happy with him.
Well, you know, I was told by my old friend who's passed away now, Jim Harrison, that if Frank did open tournaments, he would have destroyed people. But he didn't fight open tournaments, I believe. I believe he just fought JKA tournaments, and
He only fought traditional. He was by far. I mean, I've seen most of the guys, and there's unquestionably, he was as good as anybody on the open circuit.
Yes, yes. Well, I've got to mention this. I got this in my notes. You know, and I put it in the radio show tonight, too. You were very close to John Corcoran. We know him as Corky. And Corky passed away a couple of years ago, but... You know, last year or 2 years ago, I was with Jerry Smith, who's part of my show, and we got inducted into the Ed Parker's Bible Hall of Fame in Vegas. And Leslie, Corky's wife, gave me all this stuff for the museum and stuff. And now I know you and Corky did something really special. In 1985, you created the Encyclopedia of, I guess it's American Karate. Tell me a little bit about that book and what you guys did.
Well, you know, what happened is I was a historian. I was a history major in college. And one of the things that I've always felt is that, you know, all the books in the early days were all how to do it books. Other than, you know, they were almost, Don Draeger was the only book that ever wrote anything about the history of martial arts and karate and different things. So I decided to start an encyclopedia, but it was so overwhelming because, remember, in those days there was no internet.
No internet.
So I went to John, and together we sat down and we put together undoubtedly the most concise book ever put together on the art. We were actually the first ones to totally put together the history of American karate from the beginning to the end.
Yes. Well, I love that book. I mean, I looked it up today, too. I mean, I probably look at it at least once a week, and I love it because there's so much history and information, and it's just really cool. Now, I got to tell you a funny story about Corky. You're going to love this. I'm at Bob Wall's Roast in Hollywood, and I'm at the elevator, and the elevator's got like 6 or 7 people in it. And Corky says, "Ladies and gentlemen, could you mind leaving and take the next elevator up? I got something to say to this young man." And Corky put me in the elevator. He put everybody out. He pushed a button. Then he stopped it. And we were like on the 3rd or 4th floor or something. And he looked at me and he says, "Gary, your stories are really good, but your spelling and punctuation sucks. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Every time you get a story that you want to put out publicly, send it to me first, and I will edit it, and I will put it out on the air. And that's what Corky did until he went all through the MMA success. And I mean, I miss him. He was a nice guy. He was a sweet man. How long did you know John Corcoran?
I knew him from the I first met him when he was living with Joe Louis in the late 60s.
Wow.
So we go back a long ways. Yeah, he was living with Joe in 68, 69, and that's when I first met him.
Yeah, I heard that he lived with Joe Louis. And but you know what? For Leslie to trust me with all the Corky stuff, I mean, I got his Hall of Fame, I got his belt, I've got his certificate. I mean, I just treasure that. And I mean, I lit up like a Christmas tree when she decided to give that to me for the Sport Car Museum. Now, you saw a lot of movie stars. I know you saw Von Dom and some other people you've come across. Who are some of the movie stars that you work with?
Well, I started off, don't forget, you know, I worked for a guy named Phil Spector for many years. So I originally started off teaching most of the people in the record business. You know, I had the Beach Boys, Buffalo Springfield, Herb Alpert. So I taught probably about at least a dozen of the top rock and roll people, you know, in the business. And then eventually in 1970, I got involved in the movie business. And so I started teaching Mike Connors from Mannix. You know, I had, Peter Fonda was one of my clients. I worked with him on Easy Rider. That was a movie that I first choreographed. I worked with, an endless number of people. You know, I worked with Sean Connery, off the bat.
007, cool, yeah.
But I spent 15 years in Hollywood working with nothing but stars.
Well, I got, you mentioned the Beach Boys. Let me tell you, as far as I know, I might be wrong, but I'm the only karate guy that opened up Beach Boys, Heart, Cyndi Lauper, Billy Idol, Night Ranger. I mean, I was very lucky to be able to perform at Six Flags, Magic Mountain, and open up rock and rollers like that. That was crazy. But, you know, did you ever work with Elvis?
I never worked with Elvis. I knew him. He used to come over to the dojo. We used to sit and have long talks, and then I used to fly out to Vegas to see him. But I never actually trained him. He always trained. At the time that I knew him, he was training with Ed Parker.
Wow.
But he used to come over to a dojo on a regular basis.
Now, your dojo, the Beverly Hills Dojo, was it right smack in the middle of Hollywood or Beverly Hills?
It was right on the border of Beverly Hills and West Hollywood. So, I was close enough. So, one of my big peeps, a lot of celebrities sent their kids. You know, the first kid that I used to teach was Kirk Douglas's kid.
Right.
And once I got him, everybody else started coming. So,
you taught Michael Douglas?
Yep.
You taught Michael Douglas? Really cool.
Uh-huh.
That's really cool. I mean, now you shut your school down during the pandemic, correct?
Yeah, I shut the school down, and unfortunately the city didn't let anybody in. So after 51 years there, I shut it down. And now all I do is I teach privately. And I'm still writing books. I just finished another book that I just wrote. So I'm still writing.
Well, you know, I want to call you after the show because, you know, Professor Spellman said you had some pretty cool stuff that maybe you could autograph and maybe present it at the Sport Karate Museum.
Yeah, I'll send you my newest book. I just finished them of the masters, 1,000 quotations from all the top martial arts masters.
I want it autographed by you, and I want you to send it to me. We'll talk about it after the show, but
you got it.
You know, I really enjoy the fact that I know. Okay, here's what I want to say this, because I've been trying to feel how I'm going to say it, but I want to say it to you. I would consider right now, I guess, to a lot of people, a historian. But I'm nothing compared to people like you and Joe Corley and, you know, what Corky was. But, you know, you guys are my heroes. Seriously. I want to say that to the people who are listening all around the world who listen to our show. Evil Farkas, you're my hero because I remember that book. And I look at it, like I said, at least once a week. To have that much information in your hand, I mean, it's amazing. Now, if anybody wanted a copy of that book, how would they get it, you know?
You got it. I'll certainly autograph one for you and get it to you.
Super. If anybody wanted to order one, can they order it on Amazon or what?
Yeah, they're still available on Amazon, yeah.
And what's the official name of it?
It's called the Martial Arts Encyclopedia.
Cool. Now, if anybody wanted private lessons with a man atop the stars, Mr. Emil Farkas, how will they get in touch with the email?
Well, all they have to do is send me an email. My email is BH, as in Beverly Hills, and the word karate at AOL.com.
Super. Well, listen, don't go nowhere. We're going to come
all
back.
Right.
We're going to play the legend name game. We're all saying name, and you get to talk about it for like 2 minutes. That's how we're going to close the show out. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back, okay?
All right. Thank you much.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Beverly Hills Shotokan Karate Instructor of the Stars, Mr. Emil Farkas. And I'm really excited about talking to him because he was best friends with a good friend of mine who passed away, named John Corcoran, who was the editor of MA Success and also the co-editor of the Encyclopedia of Karate that they wrote. Now, we'll be bringing back in just a few minutes, but as you know, we have a couple segments that we do every week, and this one's going to be a barn burner. And I'm going to introduce the 4+1. This is a segment that we have four people from around the country plus one, and they get to talk about topics and subjects that I present to them every week. And the first person I want to introduce is the lady of the group. She's from New Jersey, but lives in North Carolina now. Now she trains, well, she's a PKL champion, and she trains in shoulder karate and kung fu. She hung out with people like Peter Urban and some other great people. But I'm talking about the great, the one, the only, my dear friend, Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there, honey?
Yes, sir, I am. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, AJ.
Happy holidays, honey. Happy holidays. Now,
it was.
The question
was.
Is real simple. Who is your icon? Who is the person that you put on a pedestal and why?
I started in judo, and I had always heard about this incredible man named Ishikawa Sensei. And all of my judo teachers talked about him and like he was some kind of god. And so I started learning his story, and he was an amazing man. And I got to become his student when I was about 14, and I trained with him for 6 years. And so that, for me, was a dream, getting to actually go and meet this incredible. He was an eighth dan in 63. Does that tell you? There were
wow.
No eighth dans. And also Anton Giesink, if you remember Anton Giesink, he was another judo guy, but he was the first non-Japanese person to win a gold at the North American Judo Association or something. So he was an icon too. But my favorite was Honor Blackman. She was the first woman on the cover of Black Belt magazine, and I just adored her. She played Honey West for 3 episodes, and then they replaced her with Anne Francis. But Honor Black, my granddaughter's name is Honor, after her.
Okay, correct me, because I always thought Malia the Captors was the first woman on Bible, but Honor was?
Honor Blackman, she was playing Honey West.
Cool. Okay, because Malia was on, I think, in 63 or 64, so... It was Honor, say her last name again.
Blackman. B-L-A-C-K-M-A-N, Black
okay.
Man.
Cool, cool. Well, Karen, yeah. Happy holidays, cool. And I wish you the
well,
best.
Well, thank you.
And you bet. And I wish you a very, very fun holiday season, honey. I really do.
I'm banking on it. Thank you.
You are. Okay. Well, why don't we go to the next person on the 4+1. Now, this man, I'm very proud of him. I've known him since an orange belt, since he was an orange belt. He trained with one of my best friends who we lost last year, Mr. Fred Simon, the first black man to receive a black belt from the great Jude Rhee. Now, this man is now the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, the largest sport karate association in Texas. All that is cool. It is cool. But to me, what's the coolest part is that he's won the MVP of Texas, the Golden Greek, over 5 times. Now, the reason why it's cool, it took me 17 years with one. This guy's got over 5. Now, he's one of the hardest working instructors I know, and I want to bring him on right now. D.E., we call him D.E. for short. D.E.?
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. Doing fantastic.
Well, I'll give you a minute to talk about your icon. Who is your icon? Are you have one or two or who?
I have two individuals that I would list that was a major impact in my life. And my first one, surprisingly, was a lady called Miss Diane Baker. She was my band instructor. Now, if you can imagine, I was more afraid of my band instructor than my high school football coach. I want you to imagine that. But she stood for something. And sometimes if you have an individual in life that stands for something, that could motivate you to become a better person. So that was so impactful. And she gave me an identity, and she gave me a direction. And that was real. It was just phenomenal. And then later in life, I got a chance to actually go train, do karate, open a karate school, and then I met this young man called Fred A. Simon. And Grandmaster Simon was a strong blessing to me because I came to him in a situation, and he just told me, I don't need to hear about that, son. All I need for you to do is give me some hard work and be loyal. And then he began to teach me the art. I'm not talking about kicking and punching. He began to teach me the art of the martial arts. And that has impacted me in a way to where, you know, I run an organization of different types. And that has gave me the chance to say, hey, I can live life. I can move on. I can become somebody. So my icon would be Miss Diane Baker, my high school band instructor, and the great Grandmaster Fred A. Simon made me the best person I could be.
Well, good choices, D.E., and thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate it so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bounce from North Carolina to Texas. Now we're going to bounce to Oregon. Now, this man is the web designer for the Sport Karate Museum. He's also a 10th degree black belt, teaches every day. If you haven't met him yet, you're going to get to meet him in October because you're going to come to the Legends event. I'm so proud of him. He's done so much work in the past few months to build up the webpage to make it really look beautiful. And if you want to check it out, go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you can see all the amazing work that he's done. And I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am, Gary. Thank you for that.
Well, you're a hard, hard worker. If you, like I said, people, if you haven't gone to the webpage yet, you need to check it out. And I'll say it again slow. www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. HIBS.com. You can see all the amazing pictures of the people that support us. You can read stories. There's all kinds of cool things. There's advertising for SetBR, the Soaking Ship Council, United States Bible Hall of Fame. We've got a page that puts up the news of the that's going on around in America. This guy's a hard worker. Tom, I want to ask you a question, though. Who is your icon? Who is the one that you put on the pedestal in your life?
Well, I've been blessed with many marvelous instructors and quite a few wonderful mentors and role models along the way. But in 1969, I began training in a new school in my hometown of Long Beach, California. I was 16 years old with a background in various martial arts at the time, going back to about 1956 with my father. But I wasn't prepared for what I experienced in the following years to come in this small little establishment. Here I was, blessed and shared by three exceptional instructors, a technician, a philosopher warrior, and something of an enigma. The first two people were easy to identify by their roles that they would play in my journey, but the third was different than the first two. First of all, he was young, and he was an active duty, squared away Marine sergeant. His eyes missed nothing around him. His movements were precise and fluidly effective. In time, I learned that he was a traditional student of the martial arts from a young age, as I was. For him, it was jiu-jitsu, Nippon Kempo, which is a really rare art, especially even today in the United States. And then he entered into hyper-traditional Shotokan karate under the tutelage of Grandmaster Hidetaka Nishiyama, who is somebody that Mr. Farkas would know well, I'm sure. And, of course, a legendary figure in the Japanese karate family. My sensei oozed strength and a sense of coiled alertness. He was shared his way of practice through kata, but his gift was in the application of its lessons. He had also begun training with Joe Lewis and grew to become his training partner. He then shared the riches of Mr. Lewis's genius with me, which I'm forever grateful. And he set down roots stateside and became a tournament champion, fighting and winning against countless champions across the nation, and then breaking into the Black Belt Hall of Fame or Black Belt top 10 national ratings. The intangible benefits I learned from this incredible man was included in his ability to bring the technical, mechanical, intellectual, and psychological elements together in a cohesive dance of combat that empowered the practitioner. This was such a significant contribution to my progress in the homogenization of all the diversified disciplines I had studied into a functional art that could be adapted to any and all people who sought enrichment. I am eternally indebted to my honorable teacher and dear friend, Grandmaster Glover Smith, or as we all know him, Jerry, my teacher and my dear friend.
Cool. Well, that said, Tom, I want to ask you, when did you start training with Uncle Jerry?
1969.
Wow. So, thank you for those kind words. Now, I get to introduce him now, and I want to do it the right way, the best way I can. First of all, he's a Marine. Secondly, he worked at Black Belt Magazine back in my heyday. Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and Joe Lewis walked the halls. He was actually brought in from the Tracy organization to have his own school on the East Coast. So he's one of these few fighters that only had a reputation on the West Coast, but built a reputation on the West Coast. Now, he's a bodyguard of the stars. I mean, he actually personally bodyguarded Ringo Starr of the Beatles. Now, all that is really cool, but what's really cool about him, he's not only a trainer, he was a fighter. And he was really cool, ladies and gentlemen. I'll call him up, and we'll spend, like, seriously, hours, a couple hours on the phone just talking about fighting. This guy is a fighting machine, but he's a coach of amazing fighters. And I'm so lucky that he's a part of my life now. And I'm talking about Mr. Jerry Smith, as Tom introduced him. Uncle Jerry, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I try to cover everything, but, you know, you're so complicated, I can't really say everything. But I kind of know who you're going to say who your icon is, but you tell me. Who is your icon and why?
Well, my icon was, as probably a couple other people on the show as well, was the world champion, Joe Louis. And I was, I met Joe when I was a young Marine back from Vietnam, stationed in Long Beach. I also met someone else who I also consider one of my icons, Tom Spellman. Tom Spellman was 16 years old when I met him, and I think he was about 6'4", if not taller, even then. And there was one thing about Joe. Joe taught me to look at to actually train in martial arts in a holistic manner, and really broke things down to me, and I think he accepted me as a student because I had trained on Okinawa, and I was back and young and a little bit crazy. Well, but one thing defined Joe Louis, our relationship for the next, 50 years, I would say 40 or 50 years, and it was in that studio. It was the first, when I met him, it was the first international, Joe was a defending champion. And Joe, after he had won the internationals and all the guy, everybody, and most of the people that were training in our school had all their gear staged at the studio, at the Long Beach studio. But Tom and I had did something really interesting. We had all the kids that trained at our studio that were also going to an international had talked their parents into letting them spend the night at the studio. So they all brought sleeping bags, and we had a big sleepover. And what happened was, Bobby Estrada and Red and all these kids we had, Joe came back to the studio to get his gear, and plus with a big group of people, and they were going to the Pepper Mill, I think it was called, to have a party. And Joe asked me, he goes, "Jerry, come on, we're going to go down to the Pepper Mill." And I went, "I'm sorry, I can't go." He goes, "You can't? Why?" And I said, "You see all these kids? Their parents left him, and Tom and I are going to, be here with these kids and take care of them." And Joe looked at me because everybody wanted to go and be with Joe and do this and that. But from that definition of Joe seemed going like, "Wow, this guy's going to stay here with these kids instead of going out and party with me," that kind of defined our relationship for the next, 30, 40 years. And I am proud to say I am very, very happy and lucky to have trained with probably the best combat fighting artist that I have ever met, Mr. Joseph Louis.
Wow. That's a cool story. Well, I'm excited about the fact that I've had the pleasure of putting together the 4+1. That's, like I said, North Carolina to Vegas to Oregon, back to Vegas, to Texas. Now we're going to go back to Vegas, and we're going to bring on the one. Now, this man is a writer for the Folklore Museum. He reads some of his stories. He's also the financial advisor for the Folklore Museum. He's a good friend of the Sport Quality Museum. Me personally, I want to bring on Mr. James Moore. James, you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
What a great show. Now, what icon do you have, James, in your career? Why?
But there's so many, but the one that stands out is the obvious choice. This evening, it's an Emil Farkas night, but because of the nature of the topic, it's also become significantly also the Jerry Smith evening, because he would be my icon for sure. He's cool. My best friend. We all know you've introduced him. Great fighter, great fight trainer, Marine, Vietnam, Black Belt Magazine, key to the, you know, one of the keys to the success of that, founder of the BKF. And like I say, just my best friend. But when I judge martial artists or icons, you know, I look at, you know, how great are they, excuse me, in their world, in the martial arts in this case, but also what are they as a human being? And that means at least as much, if not more, than the rest of it. How are they as a human being? What's their character, integrity, all that, their honesty, all that kind of, all those important characteristics. So Jerry Smith would have to be my icon. But the fact that Jerry's on the show tonight, I thought maybe I should come up with one other name, and that other name would be Eric Lee. excuse me. Eric, you know, is just so amazing in so many ways, but as a forms competitor, I almost think of him as the James Brown of sport karate, in the sense that, you know, he came in, he was just superior to just about everybody, won everything, and then went out at the top. He just said, God, I've done this. And whenever he blesses us with the opportunity to watch him move, he even did it at the Sport Karate Museum last month. He did a form, and it was such a gift to be able to watch him. Here he is in his 70s, and he still looks like he's in his 20s. He's just amazing. So he would be my other icon, and I'd be those two.
Well, thank you, James. Well, I got to throw in my two cents. You know, I got here. I'm from Hawaii, ladies and gentlemen. And as a kid growing up, reading the magazines, I used to walk to the Honolulu stuff. I'd read about two gentlemen that were literally icons. I put them on a pedestal, and they were amazing. One was because he was the first superstar of sport karate in America, Mr. Mike Stone. And the other gentleman was someone I wanted to be like, because he was amazing. He was called the Giant Killer. He was named John the Timidad. Rest in peace, John. But these two gentlemen from Hawaii were my heroes. Now, the other two heroes, I got to mention them, was Bobby Lowe and just Cheryl Sensei. The reason why I mentioned them too, they're the ones that put me on the plane and sent me to America. Now, when I came to America, guys, I was young. I was 14 years old. I was nervous. I was scared. But you know what? If it wasn't for John Natividad and Mike Stone, I don't think I would have Parker to the heroes of Hawaii. I wouldn't be who I am today. And, you know, we all have to have icons and people that we look up to, that we respect deeply in a deeper way. And I want to say thank you to the 4+1 for sharing these moments of sharing who their favorite people are. And I got to throw in Uncle Jerry, too. Uncle Jerry Smith is one of my heroes also. So, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the 4+1. And now I like to go to a segment that I'm really proud of. For a year, I've introduced virtual reality. Now, if you don't know what virtual reality is, you put on a headset. And a headset is like a Rift or the Oculus Quest 2 or the Oculus Quest Pro, whatever. And you get immersed. You get inside the program. You're not looking at the program like on a computer screen. You're inside the program. Now, this man, along with two other inventors, have invented a hologram that will kick your ass, literally, through the headset. And we're going to talk about it right now. It's called SetVR.app. Cool about it is, he's allowed the Sport Karate Museum, this is so cool, to be able to put in the history generals. So once you beat up the hologram, or whatever, get through the hologram, a wisdom warrior will appear, and it will take you to a gate, and the gate will open up, and the history generals, history will be there. Now, we'll start with four people. Mike Dillard, the owner of Blah Blah Magazine and the owner of Century Martial Arts, George Minshew, an icon from Texas, Judge Roy Kerman, the man who invented the two-point kick rule, brought it to America. I think the Crazies invented it, but he brought it to America. And Chris Minshew, an NBL world champion. And then after these four are put in there, which are already there, we'll be adding a new history general every month. All the people you've been listening to will be there eventually. And I'm talking about the man, the co-inventor of this product, ZBR.app, having him on the air. Dr. Lee?
Good evening, sir. How you doing? Thank you for that nice introduction.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
What a show tonight. This is a great show. I love talking about heroes. Now, tell everybody what ZBR is. And, you know, I'm excited about you telling the email because I don't know if the email has even done virtual reality yet, but explain to me what it is, okay?
Yes, we are all super excited, and we continue to be super excited about ZBR, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, as a platform whereby you continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact, and you can take it anywhere you travel, and even during the pandemic, to continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. If you had to describe ZBR, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, I would describe it as compact and portable. It's a simulation program. We'll definitely immerse you into the program, as I want to echo what Professor Gary Lee had said. It's for self-improvement, and it will help you develop a reflex response to a threat against a stimulus anytime, anywhere, when you want, to practice your skills in self-defense. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of ZBR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random, to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements, to avoid and place you in the opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, as you develop muscle memory, and my goal to develop a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Develop a reflex response as you would with a knee jerk if you place your hand on a hot stove, as Professor Gary Lee would like to use metaphors. This is a platform whereby you can practice to improve your skills and practice to utilize what you've been taught in your schools and dojos in forms and kinds in an application program against a random attack to practice anywhere, anytime, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercises, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We're super excited about what's up and coming in a few weeks or a few months. We're going to be introducing multiplayer. So imagine if Professor Gary Lee can put a headset on and train and practice against his colleagues. Example for AJ Perry to practice in a different part of the country or a different part of the world. We are super excited about multiplayer. We're planning to have that to be released very soon, before the end of the year. We will continue to update ZBR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at ZBR.app. That's ZBR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of history portal and virtual reality. And I'd like to echo what Professor Gary Lee mentioned earlier about the history portal and the core history generals, who are super proud, and we're so happy and blessed to have them on board with us. Thank you, Professor Gary Lee.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lee, and happy holidays to you. I really mean that from the heart. And I've really enjoyed this past year and the traveling that we've done, going to New Jersey, Texas, California, and introducing virtual reality to the martial art community, and what we're doing in October, and definitely the movie, and, you know, get ZBR involved with that. Now, I've got to mention two people. Maurice Shanahan and Rick Shanahan are the co-inventors of ZBR.app. I also want to mention Mr. Rick Wigginton, who passed away, but was Dr. Lee's instructor. And by the way, Rick Wigman came from Ronald Duncan, the great Ronald Duncan from New York. So, ladies and gentlemen, the lineage is there. And the neat thing about FEBR, again, to check it out, you go to Google. That's right, go to your Google on your computer and type in FETVR.APP. And you can see what Dr. Lee and I are talking about. And if you're really crazy, Santa Claus this year for an Oculus Quest 2. And you can get them at Best Buy and Sears and Roblox and Kmart, they sell them too. But they're really inexpensive, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, back in the day, I'm talking about 20 years ago, you had to have a high-end PC, and they had sets for like $5,000. Now you can get an Oculus Quest 2 for $299, and you can experience virtual reality. And virtual reality is so cool because you're inside the program. You're not looking at it. You're inside the program, 360 degrees. And this is such a cool effect, being inside of a program, dealing with what we're doing with FETVR.app. So please go to Google and type in FETVR.app, and you can see what we're talking about. Or you can go to the official Sport Car Museum webpage. It's there, too, also. Go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you can see in detail about it. Now, let me get AJ on here. AJ, you there?
I'm here.
Who is your icon? Who is the guy you put on the pedestal?
Tiger Kim from the Bronx and Master Sutherland Kim.
I remember him.
Pardon me?
I remember Tiger Kim.
Yeah, he just phenomenal martial artist, put tremendous demonstrations on, and I had honor of being with him in Florida with my instructor, and quite an impressive martial artist.
Cool. Now, I want to bring on the alias of Dean Piles, but he actually is not the alias. They're all 2-1, like yin and yang. The Wolverine. Now, the Wolverine's got a reputation. He means what he says. He says what he means. And ladies and gentlemen, he can back it up. Now, the Wolverine is something that he's had about him for many years. So it's kind of, when I say Dean Piles, I think Wolverine. When I say Wolverine, I think Dean Piles. So let me bring him on down. Wolverine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Wolverine, who is your idol or idols and why?
Well, you know, I got several. You know, of course, it is going to be Joe Louis because, you know, I was with Joe from a young age, which was rare because he didn't really, you know, worry about kids. But he seen me fighting a bigger kid and thought it was funny because, you know, I wouldn't give up and was going at it. So that's actually where I got my nickname, Wolverine.
Cool.
He called me Mean Dean the Wolverine and told me to sit down beside of him that day, and I was going to be his partner in teaching the seminar. And so that's, you know, that's how it went. You know, he let me, you know, be his helper that day. So it would be him. He is one. And then, of course, Dewey Earwood was training me in my weapons and, you know, karate and things like that. And, of course, you also, Professor, because, you know, when I was competing this last few years right before COVID hit, you know, I finished the season winning the world title in all of my divisions. and in NASCAR. And, you know, that's hard to do because, you know, not bragging, but that division is, that's where all the past, you know, and present world champions are that are going after the gusto. And, you know, you helped me through a lot of stuff with, you know, our talks and things like that. So that made a big difference also. You know, Colonel Torres is one of my the people that I look up to, you know, and train with and work with. You know, Colonel and I have a little different relationship than some, and it's you know, it's awesome. Also, you know, Terry Gore, you know, from South Carolina, you know, he's really good martial artist. I used to really look at his kicks and like, man, I wanna have his kicks and his self defense skills. And you know, when he retired, I had beat him the last four or five competitions that he was in. And, you know, he made a statement saying he was really proud that, you know, that not only did I look up to him, but he was able to pass it down, you know, to me, you know, kind of pass that torch on. Another person that, you know, may not been big far sport karate, but, you know, my brother Patrick Kelly, you know, his attitude, his outlook on life is motivated. You know, I love him. I mean, he's my brother forever and always will be. But, you know, his attitude, and that's what people need to learn from. You know, so many times I hear people come in complaining about, you know, an injury, or I can't do this because of my age, or I can't do this because of this injury, you know. And I've always had to work around injuries. But, you know, to see Patrick, you know, do the things he does with his outstanding personality, you know, it means a lot, and a lot of people can learn just from that, because martial arts is more than just throwing punches and kicks. It's your mindset, the whole way you approach any problems. And, you know, around the gym and around the house, I'm always running around going, yeah, I'm a problem solver. You got a problem, I'll solve it, because that's what you have to do in life. That falls back to adapt, improvise, and overcome. There's a problem, you got to solve it, you know. And you know, that was a big part of my life in competing and everything else, you know, because we were trained, you know, hey, look, I want to perform so highly that everybody that sees me perform that day wants to emulate me and wants to do what I do. And that's what I try to do, and that's one of the things you taught me when I took that ring and when I entered the, you know, the, as we called it, the combatives area for that day, you know, where you would be training. And, you know, it just means a lot to have been lucky enough to have had the people in my life that I have in my life, you know, and being able to grow up around Superfoot Bill Wallace and Michael DePasquale. All these people mean so much to me, you know, and my brother Alan Kelly, you know, Rob Buckland, these guys have done so much. Dan Severn, I was blessed with so many great people in my life to be able to train with and work with and you know learn from and help pass things to. And you know, like with Grandmaster Lewis, I know that some people have been putting up videos of, you know, some of my students training back in the past, and we train hard. We train a lot harder than what most people think martial artists should train, and you know, I've got a lot of calls with that, and like, hey man, y'all are taking it to another level. But that's one of the things that Joe and I worked on, was being able to merge the kickboxing, the jiu-jitsu, and stuff early on. And I want to say this right quick. When I first started teaching that, and Grandmaster Lewis would come to Mount Airy, and he would do seminars at my school and stuff, everybody in that area thought I was crazy because we were combining kickboxing and jiu-jitsu and doing this mixed fighting. And the karate teachers in that area, a funny story, one of them that was one of the main other instructors in town, he told my mom, because his wife and my mom worked together, they were both school teachers, he said, your son is a very good martial artist, but he looks insane because he's trying to do this mixing of the styles and stuff. It looks insane. He needs to just stick to one thing. And I know a lot of people think that that's what you need to do, but if you really want to win on the battlefield, you've got to be good at a lot of stuff. And you got to, and the same goes for martial arts, whether it be sport karate, ring combat, you know, cage fighting, kickboxing, whatever. You've got to be
knowledgeable in a lot of areas, and not just physical areas, but mental areas as well. So I
well,
you
know, Wolverine,
and these people on this show.
You know, Wolverine.
Yes, sir.
I had a friend of mine who was a jet fighter pilot. He was a Blue Angel, and he used to say, "Gary, you got to learn how to push the envelope." And I feel that's what you've done, Wolverine, with what you, the way you teach. You push the envelope. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for that compliment. And thank you for acknowledging Dewey and, you know, the rest of the guys, Rob Buckland and Alan Kelly, because they're such great guys. And you know what, Wolverine? You're one of the best. And I can't wait to see you. Now, the next, we only got a couple minutes because I'm bringing back email. But tell people what you're doing in October with your movie production with Gary Wachowski.
Well, we're right now we're putting together a lot of stuff, past and the present, and blending it together to open this movie up and showing people, you know, kind of where it came from, where people are at today with it, and why those people are where they're at today. And then, you know, we're going to be videoing. Like I say, I've got several different people we're going to make a list of. We're going to get some videos of, and definitely video the women and the impact that they've made in the sport karate and the impact that, that you've made with, you know, the museum, and keeping up with everybody's history. And, you know, that's very important, and that's what this movie's about, is showing that importance and showing the importance of these legends that have come before us. You know, and done so much to get us to where we're at, in the martial arts world. And it all comes from sport karate. And a lot of people, they think that, that, you know, sport karate came from MMA. I hear people all the time going, well, MMA, that's the sport karate. You know, no. Sport karate gave birth to kickboxing, to sport karate. I mean, to, yeah, of course, sport karate, but to MMA and all that stuff, because that's what was going on first, and that's how they started, because people were, you know, it was a blood and gut there. People were fighting for real with no pads, bare-knuckled, and, you know, that opened up a whole other thing. When the first UFC opened up, they thought they wanted to go that route, but I can tell you, because I was there, once people's teeth started flying out of their mouth, and they started realizing how easy it was to break their hand, they quickly went to wearing gloves and coming up with rules. You know, so, you know, we want to show that and showcase that in this movie, and showcase everybody, because it's not about one of us, it's about all of us, and it's and about how you've collected that and put all that together, and been able to keep that alive. No matter what people think, people are going to talk, people are going to say good things about you, people are going to say bad things about you. But you know what, Professor, nobody can say anything except for, you know, one thing that you've done that nobody else done is just like, Mr. Brown said, he said, you know, you were the keeper of the flame before it was popular, and that's what you've done, and that's what's going to be shown, and, you know, it's very important for the world to see that.
Thank you so much. And again, ladies and gentlemen, to see all the incredible people that we've got behind the Sport Karate Museum, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you'll see all the amazing people. I'm going to bring back Evo. Evo, you there, buddy?
I'm still here.
Okay, I got to ask, because I saw a picture of you on your page. What was it like training Van Damme? Because you train him, right?
Yeah, I worked with him, yes.
Well, what was it like training someone like that who is a major movie star? What can you teach him? How do you do it?
Well, not what you can teach him. It's just that, you know, is don't forget, the biggest thing for a guy like Van Damme is that it's got to be visual on the screen. And so when someone like that comes in, that's where your focus is. That, you know, he was a great martial artist, incredibly skillful, and you know, it's just making him look good on the screen. That's you know, that's your responsibility, because that's what you're hired for.
Well, I've got to close the show, but I want to make sure, and Tom will call you, make sure your picture is on the official webpage of the museum, along with Chuck and Oyama and all the guys. So, Tom, if you're listening, make sure Emo's picture's there. Okay, buddy?
No problem.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a fun show, talking about our icons, the people that are our heroes. And I want to say thank you to everybody, Uncle Jerry Smith, Uncle Jim Moore, Professor Tom Spellman, Karen Slatcher, the Wolverine, Dean Piles, A.J. Perry, Dr. Lee, and my dear friend from Texas, David Chambers, and our producer tonight, Jessica. Thank you so much for allowing us to come in your home. And we mean this. We say it every week, and we mean it from the heart. Happy holidays. Mahalo and aloha, everybody. Good night.
Aloha, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you.
Hostess Shinoe.